This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good afternoon. As you heard John say, my name is Roger Aldridge. I'm a director in KPMG's forensic practice. I've been there for just over 5 years. Prior to that, I was a police officer. I was the ACPRO lead on the Process of Crime Act. What I'm going to talk about briefly this morning is what I think is an opportunity to develop our attack on organised crime by using private sector resources. I'm going to try and cover essentially three questions. Why do this? Why work with the private sector? What can the private sector add in this context, so in the example of asset recovery? And how might you do it? What might you expect? Now, in raising this sort of subject with law enforcement, as I've been doing for the last 5 years, there is very often a degree of scepticism about what the private sector can do, or indeed should do. I quite often achieve a lot just by getting over that first hurdle, I think, of saying there is a role here. But it does require getting out of the box. You've got to be able to think laterally about using resources in this way. And when I was leading on Process of Crime, I used to do the circuit. This is after the Process of Crime Act came in. And I would talk to chief officers and financial investigators, and I'd encourage them to think laterally. And I used to use the example of Nelson at the Battle of the Nile. Okay, obvious example, I know you're all thinking. What happened there? Well, essentially, this is one of the greatest naval engagements that we won. Okay, Nelson is out in the fleet in the Mediterranean looking for the French, as ever. His team were out there, his captains were out there, and he'd instilled in them initiative, a willingness for them to take on their own responsibility, to think out of the box. And when the lead ship saw the French moored in a line at the mouth of the Nile, the Bay of Aboukir, Captain Foley, who was the captain in the lead ship, saw immediately that the French had lined themselves up too far out from the shore. And this was a sort of traditional defensive position. All the guns were run out on the ocean side and all of their stores and stuff were piled on the landward side. So Foley signalled the attack and just went straight in and went on the inside of the first ship and then ran down the inside, followed by the next three ships, and was able to rake the French ships without any response. And then the following ships followed them down the outside. So by the end of that day, and it only lasted about 3 hours, all 14 of the French ships were either sunk or taken without a loss of a single English ship. What a story, eh? And you're all thinking, what the hell's that got to do with it? Well, it's this. You don't...
We love it anyway.
Well, we do. It's the French, after all. You don't get results like that without being innovative, without thinking out the box, without relaxing and letting people use their initiative. And sometimes I feel we're constrained by that in what I see in law enforcement. So you have to be outside the box. So why would you want to do this? Well, there's a couple of quotes from Nick Herbert from earlier this year at a conference that he was addressing that was talking about collaboration with the private sector. He's saying two different things. He's talking about improvement within existing budgets, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. I think the second quote is actually more important, and this is what I want to talk about. This is not about back office. Yes, I'm sure there are ways of improving efficiency in organisations, and the private sector might be good at doing that. But I'm talking about investigations work. I'm talking about front office work, which is what makes it, I guess, challenging. But what we think we can do in this area is not new to us. By us, I mean the private sector. Because actually the private sector has developed over the last 20 years or so a significant ability to chase down assets both here and overseas. So when we talk about asset recovery, what the private sector can do is in their own backyard, really, is to chase down those assets, to find those the ownership of those assets, both here and overseas. We are regularly engaged by private sector clients who've been defrauded, where what they're asking for is a quick, confidential, detailed investigation to find out what happened, to trace those assets. They don't want to go public. They don't want to talk to the public agencies. What they want to do is recover their money and maybe to sack people with evidence. So we're able to do that for them, and we regularly recover large sums of money on that basis. What I'm saying is that skill set and that capability can be delivered for the public sector, for law enforcement. The key issue is about the commercials of how you can do it. But before I come on to that, let me give you a case study here, a simple study where we did it in civil recovery previously. We were engaged to look at a case, this is for the Assets Recovery Agency a few years back now, but where the defendants were operating a large number of property organisations, buying and selling property. They were buying and selling quickly. They had corrupt lawyers acting on their behalf. They had corrupt valuers. This was the age before the crash where it's possible to get 100% mortgages plus. So you'd got hundreds and thousands of lines of data which needed to be analysed to draw out of it what was going on. And that's what we were engaged to do, to actually make sense of this mass of data, to identify over 250 properties valued at over 45 million. So we were looking to create a clear picture, and following from Alan's mention of using digital, this is just an I2 chart, you're all familiar with this, but what this shows is just one small part of this analysis, where what the defendants were doing right at the centre was buying, in this case, 8 new build apartments and then selling them on, allegedly, virtually the same time to nominees that they themselves had put forward to try and distance themselves from the main company. They used a corrupt valuer to overvalue them, which then enabled them to obtain mortgages, sold them straight on. So this is a mortgage fraud, as it was then. But the important thing was that a third of the million went back into the defendant's company, which was all about laundering and creating that wealth, which was then funding, in this case, terrorism. So that was just one part of that whole picture. So what forensic accountants, certainly in this case, are able to do is pull out, draw out from that complex situation, data, simple lines of evidence. And we're able to do that using technology and using large-scale resources. But you're all thinking, yeah, this is great, but we can't afford it, or how can we afford it? I think that's clear from all of the what we've said earlier in the conference. There is no money. How are you going to do it? Well, if you look at the Assets Recovery Agency example, sure, there were issues there with the management of receivers that was badly handled. There's no doubt that in the end, the receivers cost more than they recovered. That's a completely untenable position. But we've learned from that. I think the private sector has learned from that, knows that that's never going to happen again. Engagements have to be directed at specific cases where it can work. There has to be a collaborative approach here. This isn't private sector doing it on their own. This is the private sector working for law enforcement, where the case selection, the fee structure is set out clearly, and the return on investment makes sense. That what's getting recovered is 5 times, 6 times what it's actually going to cost to do it. And to do that, you need that open engagement amongst the team. So to go down this route, what we have to have is openness. It needs a degree of risk sharing. The private sector need to take on some of those risks. They need to be bringing new resources and capabilities that aren't there otherwise. There has to be some form of payment by results including it. Otherwise, this whole thing will not fly because there isn't the money to go there up front. And possibly that could be done in the form of a joint venture. Certainly, in our view, it could be. I think where I'd position this is a bit reminiscent of where we were several years ago, where pre-soccer, you had Crime Squad and Customs in 2 different places, very often arguing and falling out about the way operations should be run, about protecting data and so on, when actually what was needed was to step back and take a more mature view and then task clearly. And I think that's one of the reasons soccer came along, and that's one of the things I think soccer have been successful at. I think positioning the private sector resource that could act on behalf of law enforcement needs that same degree of maturity, that oversight and direction, both from the law enforcement and the prosecutors who on the civil side have the powers, to enable to get the best out of it. If you're going to tackle organised crime, you have to go after the money. The money is the lifeblood. That's what you have to go for. So the private sector can add that ingredient, that extra ingredient of resource at this time, which, if it's properly managed and directed, will significantly add value. Okay, thanks.